CliffCentral.com.
We've got George Meany, who I know, George, your favorite thing on a Friday is to see George, and he's in our studio. He's decided.
Don't so George, tell him, but I'll shake him in a heartbeat. Oh, he's there. Hey, George, so oh, just telling God. Gareth how interesting your
so,
show is.
George, for some reason, is at our studio in Rivonia. George, are you driving a fancy car and you just needed to stretch its legs? What's the story? We can't hear you, George. You're on mute. You need to unmute.
Must be the most said thing in the last 3 years. You're on mute.
I know. Sorry about that.
Anyway, I'm in my iPace here, but I was like reminiscing about coming here, so I thought come see Simpiwe and no one else.
Yeah, because there's no one else there, right? Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay. No, it's very cool. I mean, it's like exactly the way it was. It's almost like when the zombie apocalypse hits, and then you go back to a building, and it's almost like people left in a hurry.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, George. Now you've depressed me. Now you've depressed everyone that the studio is like a zombie apocalypse. But okay. You're in the studio. So George, it's always good to see you on a Friday, because I know when you come on a Friday, it means the weekend is truly starting. And Gord hasn't been able to tell you how much he thinks of you for, I don't know, a couple of weeks now. So if you needed an ego boost, we've got that going as well this morning.
Your hair looks especially good today, George. It's always good, but today it's extra good, so muzzle.
It's the studio lights. The studio lights.
George, do you remember any of those ads and those theme tunes and things?
Yes, I do. And I was thinking of one a second ago before you put me on. Knarsis. Do you remember Knarsis?
Yes, man. It was on Afrikaans TV. You remember, Gord, we used to have Monday, Wednesday, and Friday were English kids programs, and on Tuesday and Thursday.
Bunny.
Yeah. And the bunny was called?
I don't remember Knarsis, but I mean, I probably
Knarsis was
avoided.
His crocodile.
No, it was like a dragon. It was like a dragon. And it,
the
and
dragon,
it
would go, yes.
And it would bounce around on the screen.
No, and he was like the puppet.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes. I must find you a picture of him, because when you see him, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Let me just find Knarsis the puppet. Here we go. Knarsis, it comes up immediately on Google, so a lot of other people have been looking for it. Okay, I'm going to find you a picture of Knarsis the dragon, and then I'm going to find you a picture of Oscar the rabbit. That's the name, Oscar.
Oscar the rabbit. That's,
there we go.
Yes, Oscar.
All right.
What's a ton of Salek Nofat?
There we go. Yes, exactly. That's the one. And they just don't talk like this. They always had these really obviously evil voices for the... for the bad characters, and then the good characters had these really nice voices. It was so obvious. Like, if only the world was...
Only life really like that.
I know.
Someone comes up to you and they're like, would you like to buy this thing that's cheap and it's effective? And you'd be like, no. And in fact, evil people come disguised as really beautiful women. And
imagine...
It's weird voices that tell you everything you want to hear.
Yeah, imagine someone went, you really need this medicine.
Yeah.
I'd like to finance your car in an unusual way. Would you like to sign up?
All right, here's Knarsis.
There's Knarsis.
There's Knarsis. You remember that, Gord?
I was thinking of something else. I was thinking of a green oak friend who was a crow.
No, man. This one, and he had
like
he had
that
a,
was really funny.
He had a whole bunch of teeth that sat on like a washing line, and they would sing
like
songs.
A washing
to him.
Line, yeah.
Yeah. And there's the rabbit, Oscar.
Oscar.
Yeah.
And the music went something like da 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 something like that. All right, very good. Now I know what's gonna happen. Straight after this show, we're all gonna go onto YouTube and try and look for these things. All right. So what's happening, Gordo? I mean George?
Before you go there, do you remember the shark called he used to have this little saying called hit yoke. We used to watch it at 10 to 7 in the morning before school. It was a little shark. It was a shark, and he used to chase his high and something, he used to chase his other fish around in the sea.
Yes. God, what was that called? It was high something.
Okay, hey,
audience, help us with this. I know exactly what you're talking about, but I can't remember the name.
I can't remember the name. I just, like, I remembered Knassus, but I couldn't remember the name of the show.
Look, Ancient Ether anyway, says, can you guys please talk about cars now? So you see, this is, people want us to be serious. You're trying to have fun here, but people want us to get straight to the point. They didn't come here for bullshit. They came here to hear what George thinks of cars and what he can tell us.
Okay, all right. Well, first story. They have designed a truck, obviously in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They designed a truck that can simulate seismic activity. So it can simulate an earthquake. So what this truck does, I sent you a picture there, Gareth. What this truck does is it pounds the earth with 27 metric tons of impact at a rate of 30 times per second.
Hmm.
And what this truck's designed to, what the system is designed to do, is to measure the capability of the earth in a specific location to withstand the force of an earthquake.
The horrible
looking thing. So it's a truck that can fuck, basically. And it does that to the ground.
A truck that can fuck, exactly. Pounds the earth. Takes the earth to pound.
Pounds the earth.
Takes the earth to pound town. That's
this
great.
This doesn't sound like a bad idea at all, to create something that can smash the earth with thousands of tons of pressure, yeah, 30 times a second.
I mean,
just basically frack. Like 100 meters under where they're testing this, we've got like fracking happening.
Well, you never know. Maybe they were looking for a fracking zone, and it's just an undercover reason for doing what they're doing.
Where I live, there's certain places you can't build on because there's dolomite, you know, in the ground. And what happens with dolomite is that when you have a lot of rain, some of it dissolves. The actual rock dissolves, and it creates these sinkholes, effectively. So if you brought that pound town truck here, you would cause a lot of trouble. I think a lot of houses would sink into the earth if you like started hammering the ground outside their driveways.
Isn't that the case in the West Rand where all the mines are?
Yeah.
There's often sinkholes.
Apparently Joburg, I mean, I don't know if this is absolutely true, but apparently Joburg underground, it's like a Swiss cheese. It's like full of tunnels and holes. And basically, if we ever have a really big earthquake here, we're in big, big shit because the whole of Joburg will like start rattling and rolling and some of it will fall.
I mean, this is not the earthquake show, but apparently the...
the earthquake show! God, can you imagine the earthquake show? I mean, there are shows like this.
Feel that?
The earthquake show.
What's that rumble? It's the
apparently Kuburg power station is built on a fault line.
Oh no. I see Fukushima.
I don't know how true it is.
Oh no. All right, let's just stop right there. Are we going to make people paranoid? Okay, what else?
Then have you ever named your car, nicknamed
Always.
Your car?
Every car.
Apparently this is quite a thing.
100%.
Every car I've ever had has had a name.
So I looked up names for cars, and people have named their cars Scorcher, Burner, Roadrunner, Gorilla, Bigfoot, Everest.
Metalmobile.
What have you named your car, Gord?
No, mine is always...
My black polo was the Metalmobile.
Mine's always had like human names, like Dexter or Doris or Sven or
My next one's going to be called Carl.
That's so stupid. I'm kidding you. All right, what else? Why do people do this? Why do they call it? Is it because Everest is so obvious, like the Ford Everest, right? So is that why? Is that like a total lack of imagination? It's like those people who call their child Sion. You know, like
yeah, I think anybody that calls their car by the name of the car itself is boring, to be honest.
I think so.
You know, call it something better.
Call
it Shadow or something.
So my sister-in-law has an Everest, but we call it the Everest, just to annoy her.
Oh, that's even better. So then, leading on from that, why do we refer to our cars and many other things for that matter as a she? And there's actually, I went to go and look this up, and there's actually a reason, and there's a history to why we call things she, particularly cars. And it turns out that it comes from a Latin because English comes from, you know, a little bit of Latin. So the Latin word for ship is a feminine word. And because Latin has gender, you know, yes, many languages have gender, you know, for different things.
Right.
The Latin word for ship is gender. So that's where the word she for ship came from. And then it extended to everything else, including cars.
Uh-huh. But you know, some countries are male and some countries are female, right?
No.
Yeah. So like...
cancellation. I'm excited about this.
Well, I mean, so some things are gendered, whether the LGBT community like it or not. But like Russia is male. France is a she. Germany's a he, as I recall. Spain is a she. Like there's some countries that have, the country itself has a gender.
Do these countries decide this for them? Like back when this was a thing and it needed to be like a sign.
Yeah, a bunch
of... languages had gender, right?
Yeah. So George is right. Like this is where it comes from. But someone says, Steve says Mother Russia. So maybe not. Maybe Russia's a she. Maybe I got that by the balls. So, or literally not by the balls in this case. all right. What else have we got?
And then there was a home in Dallas where this guy has a... Let me just send you a link there. This guy has a private... collection of cars as an office. So if you have a look at that image, you'll see that he has a private collection of cars as well as it's his home office, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow.
And it's a Ferrari display there. He's actually themed the entire home office as Tron. So he's got different cars in different places, and this house is going for, with the home office included, for $3.9 million US dollars.
So this guy's
a
major car fan. I mean, we've got people like Jay Leno who've got warehouses full of this. But here's his home office, and he's got cars in these like these beautiful little... It almost looks like a Star Wars ship, and in each of the rooms, he's got cars. It's awesome. Even the backdrops, all like Formula One stuff. I mean, that's real.
Look, fanatics. I can think of other ways to spend that money, but I'm not trying to judge this dude. He's obviously got a lot of passion for it, but I think that's ugly as fuck. And I think that the picture of the crashing Formula One, I guarantee you it's low res and it's like worse than it should be, and it looks like shit up close because no one prints large-scale printing well.
All right. Thanks, Gord, for ruining that one. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's cool, though, if you like that sort
of
thing.
Well, I mean, let me show you another version of this picture, because I think, you know, George has found something interesting here. Listen, some people, there's no accounting for taste, right? There's no accounting for taste. What one person thinks is beautiful.
Well, it's subjective, eh?
Of course. What one person thinks is beautiful, someone else is going to think is really ugly. But take a look at this.
Thank God for that, or I would never, ever have gotten laid in my life.
All right, so here's a different angle on that office. And you know what, if you're into this stuff, I mean, that could be quite cool if you're a real Ferrari fanatic. I mean, so it's like he's got this desk and it's all in red and white, and he's got the big Ferrari badge on the wall. I mean, it's not my scene either. I wouldn't like that, but I think there are people who would.
Cool chandelier.
Yeah.
Oh, like a white chandelier. Yeah,
I mean, I'm not that much of a dick.
The thing is, I didn't even notice the chandelier.
Mm.
I just didn't notice the chandelier.
If you're into that sort of thing, that's it. It's just not me, is what I'm saying. But like, great if you like Ferraris and shit. Amazing.
No, but it just proves because you're not into that thing, you notice the other things that are around what you're not into. So I'm into cars and Formula One. So I won't notice the chandelier. Whereas you're not into Ferraris.
It's a really good chandelier, though.
Yeah.
And like, it is legit a super cool chandelier.
Someone here, Steve says. Steve says it looks cool for a secondhand car dealership on Jules Street. All right. Oh, poor guy. Yeah.
Poor guy. His $3.9 million home office now gone up in flames.
Right. I'm sure he's going to be crying himself to sleep on a pillow full of money.
Mm. And then very finally, I don't know if you heard, Gareth, the South African government has decided in their infinite wisdom, I mean, I've got an argument for this, okay, because I think they just executed it in the wrong way. They are putting up tire import duties by 38%.
Why?
38% on tires from China.
Why?
Now, we can't figure out whether it's because these tires that are being imported from China are low quality. You know, it's difficult to find the reasons why, but they're putting up import duties at 38%. Now, that's going to hurt the consumer who, you know, R1,100 tire, that price is definitely going to go up now. So so that's the downside. That's like a real proper economic downside. And it just shows you the government does things without, you know, calculating the effects. In my opinion, this is not a bad thing because it does stimulate local manufacture. I mean, we manufacture approximately 11 million tires in South Africa, continental down on the east, Eastern Cape. Right. We manufacture 11 million tires. 2 million of those tires we export. However, South Africa consumes approximately 15 to 18 million tires a year. So that's how much we use.
Okay, so
there's lots of scope for manufacture.
All right, but there could be an argument then for kind of protecting local industry. And if you put up the if you put up the tariffs on imported tires, then you protect local industry. I'm always a little bit nervous about this protectionism because why should the consumer be punished? You know, like if the Chinese can make cheaper tires and you don't really care whether it's some kind of fancy brand or whatever, there's an argument for that.
Do they get the money from that duty and give it to stimulate local manufacturing?
Just go straight.
Someone in the ANC buy another giant Merck.
Yes, that's exactly
and not what it, and not an electricity manufacturing
that's
plant.
That's what happens. You're spot on. So that's why I'm very much against protectionism as a rule, because I think you're also manipulating the market. And why should the ordinary consumer have to foot the bill because the government thinks they're protecting an industry, but they're just stealing money? And it's another tariff.
It's another manufacturing stimulus fund. Local tire manufacturers who are starting can tap into to get funding for building their factory. The tariff funds that, then cool.
But you're living in a fantasy. It's just another stealth tax. That's all it is.
So we unpack this in grave detail in the Auto Trader podcast on Monday.
Awesome.
That is a 30-minute show on this particular topic itself.
In other words, we just scratched the surface on a big discussion and a big debate that there's a lot more complex detail around.
Correct.
Spot on. All right, George, lovely to see you. Thank you very much. Friday has truly begun. Gordo, it's awesome to spend some time with you this morning. You were really on good form this morning. All these goddamn jingles are going through my head now, so I'm going to have to, I don't know, do something to, like, I'm going to go and do some
just
exercise.
Quickly, George, I ask you, do you know whether Lombard tires are locally manufactured or imported?
Do you know whether Lombard tires
are
locally? They must be.
I don't know.
I think they're local. Lombard tires.
I think Lombard tires... I think Lombard Tires is just a local retailer, but I'm not sure.
I can't go get Lombards. Damn it! Okay, well, George is the right oak to ask.
Don't take my word for it. I don't know the answer, but I know that it's a local retailer.
All right, guys. Thanks very much. Happy day, and have a good weekend, everybody. We will see you on Monday. CliffCentral.com.